Yes, the key was that in most colonies, particularly in Jamaica, which through its size, it had about a third of the total of British enslaved people. It was the single largest slave colony. It loomed very large in people's consciousness. And in Jamaica, as in Barbados and a number of the other older colonies, there were local assemblies. These were assemblies, constitutional assemblies, which had legislative power. And although they were subordinate in the end to the Metropolitan, the Imperial Parliament in London, they had the power and the obligation to govern the local communities. And so when the resolutions were passed in 1823 in the British Parliament, these were to stop flogging women, for example, to recognize slave marriage, to allow enslaved people to be witnesses in court. These are kind of reforms that were driven by metropolitan concerns, the Sabbath to be observed. So you can see what was on the minds of those who were reforming it. They were, you know, a litany of respectable behaviors was really what was being suggested. But those resolutions, called Canning's resolutions, which the British government then sent out through to the governors of the individual colonies to say, no, you need to adopt these, those were resisted. And in Jamaica, they're still resisting them. The debate's still going on when the abolition of slavery takes place in the early 1830s. So they've had 10 years of obfuscation, really, saying the Metropolitan Parliament does not understand the nature of slavery. If you begin to make these changes, you will destroy something that has value to everybody. We can't do this. So that was the kind of discussion that unfolded. And this whole trajectory of slavery and abolition has been, as you know, the subject of the most extraordinarily complex historiography in terms of why does it happen? Why does it happen at all? Why does it happen when it happens? And those debates, in the end, are probably never really going to come to a close.